from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
No D'Lo and KC today. Kyle Madsen, Jesse Tapia hanging out with you. D'Lo on vacation. KC will be back tomorrow. He'll take you through the rest of the week. I've been talking a ton about the Sacramento Kings, the new look Sacramento Kings, after they dealt Harrison Barnes to the Spurs, along with a 2031 unprotected pick swap. They sent Chris Duarte and 2 second-round picks in cash to the Bulls, and in exchange acquired DeMar DeRozan, who they signed to a 3-year deal worth $74 million.
It's worth a certain amount of money, James.
Worth something north of $70 million, but south of $80 million.
Help us out, James.
James Hamm in the building. Truncated version of the Insiders. What's up, James?
What's happening? Yeah, I think we still don't know the exact dollar amount, whether it's $74 or $76 million. Cool. It does look like I'd even say it looks like it's probably closer 75 point something if you start at like 21.1 and go up 5% every year. So I don't think we'll have the exact dollar amount for a couple of days, but once we do, we'll make sure everyone knows the exact penny that he gets in his sign and trade deal. I'd also point out we don't know how much of the third year is guaranteed. As of today, we know the first 2 years are guaranteed. The last year is probably going to be a team option with some sort of protection for the player, whether it's like $6 million or $8 million guaranteed in that final year, whatever it might be. So, yeah, good deal.
Did this come as a surprise for you when you heard that they were in on the DeMar DeRozan thing, or was this something that had kind of been like, yeah, hey, this is in the works for a while?
Well, I mean, it certainly was in the works for the last couple of days leading up to Saturday night. You know, our good friend Damian Barling was all over this. Mm-hmm. I reported on Friday night that not only were they in contract negotiations, basically, but that there was also they already had a third team worked out. From what I know, we kind of knew what the deal was on Friday. Just whether or not he would sign the contract and whether they could get him to be sort of the centerpiece of it. So it's kind of weird how you have to work these deals out. You have to work them out and then hope that you can close the deal with a player. And as long as you have some rough parameters when the player gets there and you start the negotiations, then it becomes like a pretty small window as to, you know, what it is that you can do in a deal, and they were able to get it done.
What do you think it says about the Kings, like, as an organization now that, like, they were able to land a guy like DeMar DeRozan? Like, DeMar DeRozan wanted to come to the Kings. Like, he did have the Clippers as a suitor or whatever. You can even throw, like, a guy like Malik Monk in there, too. Like, he signed early back knowing, like, there probably was a bigger market for him outside. Like, what do you think it says about the Kings now?
Yeah, well, to start with Monk, I mean, I think it's really cool. We talked to Monk on Saturday morning as part of, you know, they had their press conference to announce his signing, his free agent signing. And we asked him a lot of questions. He did have somewhere else to go for more money. He would like to start, but he's willing to take whatever role. And on top of that, you know, we asked him about making sure the Kings knew early right? And he said, that's like the least I could do. Like, mm-hmm. this is your organization I want to be at. This is my NBA home. But like by me telling him when, like what Malik was saying is like when he told them when he was coming back, it was very specifically so they could go out and do what they needed to do to add more pieces, because he knew they needed more pieces. They knew they needed more pieces, and just getting that off the books as like a potential, like, you know, really a catastrophe for the off season. I think it really did help the team and gave them momentum heading into free agency.
James Hamm in the building here on D'Lo and KC. Kyle Madsen and Jesse Tapia filling in for D'Lo and KC. Help me out with the financials of this. We talked a ton about Lauri Markkanen. We talked a ton about Brandon Ingram. We talked a ton about Kyle Kuzma. Are any of those deals still on the table just from a purely financial standpoint? Or, because I know the Kings are hard capped at that first apron. So how much wiggle room do they have in a trade to acquire a high dollar player like that?
Yeah, they do still have wiggle room. I think, you know, like, look, there's the first apron and then there's also the tax. Like as of right now, they're below the tax. Mm. And even if they sign, I think if they sign one more player, they're still right around the tax. So we're going to have to see if they decide to be a tax paying team. And so when I'm looking at the financials of it, this is pretty much a net neutral trade. You can look at Harrison Barnes made $18 million. Chris Duarte made $5.9 million, and they're going to, you put those two together, that's basically $24 million, $23.9 million, and it looks like DeMar DeRozan's going to make right around $24.1 million. But the problem is, in the NBA, when you do a sign-and-trade deal, it does cap you. It hard caps you at the first apron. Mm-hmm. So they can't go above $78 million. So as of right now, what that does do, well, you can go above $78 million, but what you can't do is go above $78 million without it being a league minimum contract. So again, we haven't seen Alex Len sign yet, and we haven't seen Jordan McLaughlin sign yet, who are two players that we expect to sign with the Kings. Mm-hmm. But they're both on veteran minimum contract. So in a way, you can actually, because they're hard capped right now at $178 million, they can actually go out and, like, before they sign those deals, they can go out and try to add a player into part of their mid-level exception. Mm-hmm. And they're going to get hard capped at $178 million. But then if you're signing league minimum contracts, even if it's a veteran minimum, which is like $3.4 million for Alex Len, you can exceed the first apron to sign league minimum contracts. So... Mm. I don't think they're going to go over the first apron, but you still have wiggle room right now. And then you still have the ability to make a trade. So let's say it's Kyle Kuzma, right? $23.5 million. You still have plenty of room between the tax and the first apron, which is about, it's like $7 million difference, basically. So you've got that room that you can play with, right? And then you have the contracts of players like Kevin Huerter or players like Trey Lyles or, mm-hmm. I don't know, you're going to have some other, like Colby Jones, it's on a league minimum deal. But those are players that could be included into a deal to get closer to Kuzma's $23.5 million salary. So as of right now, you know, whether you want to include any of those guys outside of Huerter, you know, that's going to come down to Monty McNair and to Vivek and how much he wants to spend in tax, right? Sure. But you could still pull off a deal for a guy like Kuzma. Lauri Markkanen only makes $18 million, so his contract could be a straight swap with Kevin Huerter with no questions, and it wouldn't hurt your cap space at all. What it would do is it's going to cost you long term as far as draft capital. And you guys had Sean Cunningham on from Fox 40, my partner of the Kings beat, and I'm sure he told you that he's heard from a lot of people in Markkanen's camp that he wants to test free agency this offseason and really give it a look. And so he's a little bit more scary of a prospect to trade for, just because you're going to have to give up a ton to get him, and then you have no assurances where at least a guy like Kyle Kuzma, you know, again, Kyle's got, he's under contract for 3 years, and you got a good opportunity to keep him around long term.
Right. We can stick with Kuzma. How aggressive do you see the Kings being, like making more moves and all that? Is it just a matter of, do you think maybe they just shore up the roster a bit with like a wing player here and there, or do you think they go hard after Kuzma because they think it takes them over the top? Like, how aggressive do you see them being going forward?
Yeah, as of right now, I do know that you know, as of this weekend, that they were still interested in pursuing either Lauri Markkanen or Kyle Kuzma via trade. There's no reason not to go all in at this point. You know what team you have. You know what the next 3 years looks like. You've got DeMar DeRozan locked in. If you want him for 3 years, as long as he doesn't tail off big time in year two, you know, you would assume that he could stick around for a third year. This is kind of a gut check moment for the Kings, where they're looking around and saying, you know, if we make one more substantial move, can we jump into the conversation for, you know, the team that could represent the Western Conference in the finals? And, you know, maybe they could. I don't know. It depends on the level of player you get. The one player I would say it would be really difficult for them to get at this point is probably Brandon Ingram. Mm-hmm. And that's just because he makes $36 million, and it wouldn't be easy for them to come up with enough contracts to right. reach that amount. I think they could do it, but it would, like, at a minimum, you're talking Trey Lyles, you're talking Kevin Huerter, that puts you at 25, and then you're going to need more on top of that in order to stay into that hard cap. I'd also say that, like, until the DeMar DeRozan deal is actually finalized with the league, like, until that deal is done, you're not hard capped. Mm-hmm. So we hear everybody say, oh, they're hard capped. Well, they're not hard capped until that deal is put through the league office. And
right.
so far we haven't seen that. And so, like, look, I just think it's there's a lot of moving pieces here. And I always tell people that, and just because you put all your money in right now, or the salary cap looks a certain way today, it doesn't mean that it will look that way in a couple of weeks or in a couple of months. You know, because you have all kinds of moving pieces here, including, you know, the $4.7 million Jalen McDaniels contract. We don't know what that's going to look like, if he's going to be around. If not, I mean, they could always do something drastic if they had to, and waive him, stretch provision him, and save $3 million right off the top mm-hmm. and drop down lower. So again, that's what I mean. There's a lot of moving pieces here, and they're cooking right now. And they're being as creative as possible.
I just want to clarify something just real quick. The Kuzma thing is not just us talking. That's the Kings are interested, or at least having conversations about acquiring him, correct?
Yeah. From what I know, the Kings are very interested in pursuing both Kuzma mm. and Markkanen at this point still. Mm. They do not feel like they're done. They also feel like there's a move here that could put them in a really, really strong position, not just to be a top four or five playoff team, but actually a team that could, you know, potentially compete. And that's what you're hoping to do at this point.
I kind of think the Pelicans aren't going to wind up trading Brandon Ingram.
I don't think so either. I feel like it's kind of moving towards he stays and takes maybe less than the max or something like that.
Yikes.
We'll see.
I feel like they fumbled the bag by broadcasting to the world that he was available.
Yeah, and like David Griffin, I think after the season was talking about, yeah, we need to make some changes, this, and that. And yeah.
Tough.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, too, with that team, like if they are going to trade him, they've realized very quickly that the center market is dried up, mm-hmm. which is why you see them go out today and sign a guy like Daniel Theis. They need somebody, because as of right now, they only have a rookie there. And they need to go out. They traded both of their centers, here in the last, or they lost Jonas Valanciunas, but they also traded Larry Nance Jr.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got some work to do on their roster, and financially they're not going to be in a good position at all, and they know that. And so it would behoove them still to trade Brandon Ingram now while they still have an opportunity. I mean, they certainly could try to extend him and then trade him next summer or something, but still the risk is there, especially with Ingram and his history of injury. I really like him as a player, and I think he would fit as well as any player on this team right here. And I'll also point out, you know, Jesse, you asked me earlier and I skipped over the question. Like, the Kings landing DeMar DeRozan is a tremendous, you know, like, feather in the cap of these guys, because they've never been able to go out and land a true free agent like this, mm-hmm. not since Vlade Divac. Now, it is a sign and trade, so there is like a stipulation there that it's not truly just a free agent signing.
But we
picked us, James. He picked us.
Because we never look at the Brad Miller the Brad Miller acquisition as a free agent signing. We always think of that as a sign and trade because it cost him Hedo Turkoglu and it cost him Scott Pollard. Mm-hmm. But it's the same exact trade, basically. It was a sign and trade where they picked up a free agent, paid him a bunch of money, and were able to swap assets. But I would still say that, like, the fact that the Kings for so many years have been trying to shake this exact, like, stigma that they cannot go out and get a player like this,
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden they did, I think that's a big deal. And I also think it's a big deal if you're a player on the outside, like a Kyle Kuzma, who's been like a little hemming and hawing maybe, mm-hmm. about whether or not you want to go to Sacramento, and he's got a 15% trade kicker. There could come a point where he goes, you know what, let's do this. That sounds like a fun place to go play. That sounds like a team I want to play for. And I think one of the really cool things about DeMar DeRozan is he can play the two or the three. He can start mm-hmm. for two at either position, which allows you to go out and chase a guy like that. Like, that does, the versatility of him really does help.
Yeah, big time. We've been talking a lot today about the concerns over the fit, because that was my knee-jerk reaction, right? In fact, I texted you, it feels like, man, like, initially it was like, man, this DeRozan thing feels like a move just to do something. But the more I thought about it, the more it's like, well, it's a quote unquote bad fit if you're expecting that player to stand in the corner and shoot threes, because that's just not DeMar DeRozan's game. But it's very clear there's so much more to it than that. Does the fit concern you at all?
You know, I was with you initially, Kyle, like, because you're looking at this and you're wondering what exactly, you know, he is a guy who, number one, has a pretty decent usage rate. Mm-hmm. He's a guy who doesn't shoot. It's not only that he only shoots 33%, but he only shoots like three threes a game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't ask a 34 going on 35 year old to reinvent himself. You can ask him to take more threes from the corner to help your team out. But then when you look at sort of the rest of his game, I would point to the fact that, for 11 straight seasons, he's averaged over 20. For, seven straight seasons, he's averaged 4.9 assists per game or more, which again, six of those, he's over five assists a game. He's a playmaker. He's mm-hmm. a playmaker for everybody. And I think everybody saw this team last year really fall apart when both Herter and Monk went down late in the season. We've talked about this, how everyone was so focused on the 25 points per game, and they overlooked the 7.5-8 assists per game that those guys put up on the board.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that you didn't have somebody else who could create their own shot outside of De'Aaron Fox once Monk went down, that was a huge problem for the Kings. It was probably the reason why they didn't advance to the playoffs and why they were bounced in the play-in. If they could have had a DeMar DeRozan type player who isn't just like, oh, he can create for himself. This is a dude who averaged 24 points a game last year. He's, you know, top, I don't know, 15 in the league in scoring. Mm-hmm. This is a ball player. This isn't some, you know, some guy who pad stats on a bad team. He's a guy who's done it for years and, you know, is one of the best mid-range players in the game. And so I think what he does do is he adds this element that the Kings were just lacking. It is that secondary creator. And I'll also point out, him and De'Aaron Fox finished 1-2 in fourth quarter scoring. Like, when things get messy deep in a game and you're searching for answers, this dude gets to the free throw line 7.7 times per game. He shoots 85% from the free throw line. But he's one of the best finishers, the best closers in the game. Mm-hmm. And you don't just have two of them now. You actually have three, because Malik Monk is so good in this situation too. So teams are going to have to pick their poison. How do the Kings attack? And it really comes into play when you go up against teams that like to switch defense, and you're going to have a mismatch. And you're going to be able to exploit that mismatch, whether it's DeRozan, whether it's Fox, whether it's Monk, in the final 3 minutes of a game when you're trying to close somebody out.
How do you think this move affects Keegan Murray, like good or bad? Like Keegan was thought to be like maybe eventually take over this spot that DeMar's going to have now as the third guy. Like, do you think it like helps Keegan's development more so like he doesn't have to have that pressure on him right now? Like, yeah, how do you think it affects him?
Yeah, you know, to be honest, Jesse, I think that Keegan Murray is still 2 years away from being the player that he's going to be. And you know, like he's getting better and he's really good defensively. But, you know, every year, every offseason, he's going to take a step. And the Kings, as of, you know, Friday, they needed him to jump 2 steps forward for them to compete. And all of a sudden, you don't need that anymore. You need him to continue to get better, but to get better organically and in a way that makes sense for him. And allow him to build his confidence. I'd also point out that DeRozan is considered one of the NBA good guys. So you lost one in Harrison Barnes, but you got another one back. And he's going to be a guy who mentors. He's going to mentor Devin Carter. He's going to mentor who he played with, Devin Carter's dad, and is in Toronto for Anthony Carter's final season in the NBA. So you're going to have all these ties that bind. But I think having a new voice and another voice in the locker room that can just give Keegan Murray a different perspective is good. And as you see DeMar DeRozan kind of age out, you'll see Keegan Murray hopefully be able to take over for who it is right now. Because as we look today, the Kings just added their third best player, especially on the offensive end. And now it's a coin flip between Monk and Keegan Murray, who your fourth and fifth best player is. And that's a really good thing for the Kings. That's a good problem to have for the Kings. If they can add one more player that to add to that fourth, fifth mix, then I think that they would even be, you know, they would even have more potential here.
You were talking about DeMar DeRozan and the clutch points last year. He was third in clutch player of the year voting two seasons ago, second last year. And I went back because I wanted to go see. I couldn't remember exactly what he did against the Kings at Golden 1 Center. I just remembered he had a huge fourth quarter. 7-for-7 in the fourth quarter with 19 points against Sacramento.
You imagine that game on whatever, Friday night. Kings went 14-of-14 from the field because it was just Fox and DeMar DeRozan tearing it up.
Could happen. It's on the table. The thing for me that I keep coming back to with this, James, is this is a floor signing. This elevates the Kings' floor to a playoff team. That's what I believe. I think this is a firm top five team in the West now. Top six, maybe. Their ceiling is still going to be reliant on, A, if there's another move for them, and B, what Keegan Murray does. Mm-hmm. Like, all of this still comes back to, like, hey, Keegan Murray's got a leap to take if the Kings are really going to ascend into that upper tier of the West.
Yeah, well, I think the other ingredient there is how well does this team how quickly does the chemistry build, and how quickly do they figure out how to put these guys in the right places?
Yeah.
I agree with you. It does still like Keegan Murray's development is still gonna be the difference between them being like a 5 seed or a 3 seed probably. I think that's what you're probably pointing to, and. You know, I would agree with you, but I'd also say, like, look, they have a way to change who they are a little bit here. That so far the last like two seasons under Mike Brown, they've been predominantly like a dribble drive motion offense. It's either corner three or it's finish at the rim, right? And they get a lot of that with through running through Domantas Sabonis and all that. They're going to have to figure out ways to get a lot more buckets in the mid-range. And it's kind of a throwback. We saw the Spurs do this throwback about 4 or 5 years ago when they had DeRozan and they had LaMarcus Aldridge, where they're the only team in the league that's not shooting up, you know, 25 to 30 threes a game at that point, and it's even gone up since then. But De'Aaron Fox is one of the best mid-range jump shooters in the league. He went away from it this last season, but the year before he was lights out. DeMar DeRozan is one of the best, if not the best, mid-range jump shooter in the league. And then Keegan Murray said he's also been working on his mid-range game as well. So I think it's possible that we see the Kings sort of have a whole lot of different identities, especially on the offensive end this season, where they can give you so many different looks. And it's not just like, hey, we have an ISO player here and a bunch of shooters to space the floor on the other side. I think it's going to be more where they can hit you with different looks and quality looks and high efficiency looks time and time and time again. And they have potential to be absolutely electric offensively.
Yeah, they're going to make teams defend areas of the floor that they don't typically have to defend.
Yeah, theoretically. I totally agree with that.
Theoretically. Yeah. Were you going to say something, Jesse? Sorry. I felt like I cut you off.
No, that was good.
Okay, thanks.
How much better did they get after acquiring DeRozan? Like, are they on paper like now, because we haven't seen them play yet or whatever, are they a top six team now, do you think? Or are they still a team that can get into the playoffs by way of the play-in?
No. I would put them as a top five team. I like what they've done more than I like what the Pelicans have done. Again, the Pelicans have lost depth. They lost Najee Marshall. They lost Jonas Valanciunas.
Larry Nance.
Larry Nance. They made the move to go get DeJounte Murray, but I've never been convinced of him as like a star level player. They lost Dyson Daniels in one of those trades too, I believe. That team is, they're good. But I would put the Kings above them. I also think teams like, the Clippers, like the Warriors, like the Lakers, they've taken a step backwards, and I don't think there's any question about that. I'm really intrigued to see, have the Lakers done anything other than draft Bronny and Dalton Connect? Because I don't think I saw anything else. And it's kind of strange how they're just in this holding pattern waiting for LeBron to retire.
Well, they did get LeBron to take like $2 million less than the max. So
that's
a big
huge deal, Kyle.
Yeah,
it is.
No, it's big time. I don't know why they're not favorites in the West right now. Hey, look at their cap situation. It's so much healthier now.
Yeah.
They hired that cool podcaster.
Oh, they did. Oh, yeah, they got a new head coach.
Oh, that's right. A guy who's never coached before.
Dominating the content game.
I forgot about that.
Didn't Gentry join the staff?
Drew Down brings up that they also did lose. They lost
Taurean Prince
as well. Yeah, Taurean Prince.
Hmm. Interesting. Okay. That's it. That's all I've got on the Lakers, guys. Sorry. We'll keep talking about what the DeMar DeRozan addition means for the Bulls. We will bid farewell to Harrison Barnes, and we will discuss... there's something else I wanted to ask you, James. I'll try and figure it out at the break. All right. Jesse, let's go. We're on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Center.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Yeah, it is. It's just not D'Lo or KC. It's D'Lo and KC, the show. But it's Kyle Madsen, James Hamm, Jesse Tapia, also in the building. We're holding it down for you until tomorrow. KC will be back tomorrow. D'Lo out on vacation all week, but Kenny Caraway will be back mañana. Got some news from the Kings just now.
I'm glad D-Rose came home. Y'all didn't deserve him neither.
Officially, a Sacramento King, DeMar DeRozan.
Yeah, deal is.
Does that change your? Does that change anyone's thoughts now that it's been officially announced? Any buyer's remorse from anybody?
I think I'm out. I think he's too old. He got older.
Like, what are they doing? They needed wings.
I liked it before it was official.
Yeah. How tall is he? He needed three and D, not DeMar DeRozan. I don't like the fit. They're just making a move to make a move. Monty, back on the hot seat. DeMar DeRozan officially announced as a member of the Sacramento Kings. Does the Jordan McLaughlin acquisition, backup guard for Minnesota, very good defender, is that a sign of anything other than Devin Carter's injury status? Does it mean that we can bank on another one of their guards being sent out the door here during this offseason? What does the Jordan McLaughlin signing mean, if anything?
I think the Jordan. Okay, so first of all, I kind of like him as a player. I mean, he's an undersized point guard, but he plays defense. He shot something crazy like 47.2% from three last year on limited opportunities. You know, again, he's a defensive-minded guy. He posted an offensive rating of 111, a defensive rating of 100 for a plus 11 net rating, which is wild for a guy who plays 11 minutes a game. So, like, look, this is just, like, a solid guy that you can throw in there. But I don't know how much he'll play or anything else. The Kings have plenty of guard depth. But with Devin Carter being out and potentially long-term, this just became something you need to shore up a little. And again, I would point out the Kings have, you know, De'Aaron Fox is their starter. Malik Monk can play the one. Keon Ellis played the one last season. Colby Jones can play a little one. You got a bunch of guys who can play the one, the two. DeMar DeRozan can slide over and play the two if you need more guard depth. You still have Kevin Huerter on the roster. So this is just one of those moves. It's like, hey, before everyone's picked up, we might as well pick up somebody who is solid and can help us out in case we get in a pinch.
Is it really 6 to 8 months for Devin Carter?
I don't know. I mean, we're hearing that he's having surgery soon. But I heard on draft night that there was a potential for like an 8 month recovery for one from whatever it was. And then the number we've heard over the last couple of days is potential for 6 to 8 months. But I don't think we'll know until they get in there. Because if it's just a labral tear, like what Kevin Huerter has, is 4 to 5 months. You know, and they would have him back on the court relatively quick. You know, you don't want someone, if it's just a labral tear, they're finding that you want to use the thing and start going after a couple of weeks. So the rehab actually goes quicker. But we're going to have to wait and see. We're going to have to wait and see what kind of injury it is. Because as of right now, we just have Shams' report of a surgery needed. And there are so many different types of surgeries for a shoulder. He did hurt it during the pre-draft workout process. So I don't know when the Kings knew or if they knew when he did that he was injured. But I do know, like, at least one other team told me heading into the draft, the day before the draft, that that he might be a little – his might be a little rocky because they thought he was going to be out long term with shoulder injury. And it's something I warned people of last week, you know, after the acquisition. And I don't think it changes anything. I think the Kings probably would have still made the pick. He's a really, really good player, and he fits everything that they're looking for in a player. You might just have to wait for it until, you know, training camp or maybe January. We don't know yet, though.
Yeah, I don't like it. Doesn't like ideally you would have all your players healthy and available right away. But you mentioned all the depth. Like if the Kings were going to have a player out for the first, you know, however long, that's probably an okay spot to have it. And I don't think I don't think Devin Carter is the kind of player either where obviously any rookie, you're going to want him in camp. You're going to want him in practices as much as possible. But mm-hmm. I think his impact isn't necessarily contingent this year on like, hey, he's going to be super involved in the offense and he's going to be heavily involved in these actions or whatever it is. I think he's a super high IQ player. I think his length is going to bother teams, particularly defensively. And I think in his rookie year, his impact is going to be, hey, go play these 4 or 5 hard minutes and just go make plays.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, this could potentially mess a lot of that up. I mean, he's still going to be able to watch film. He'll go mm-hmm. through a training camp watching, unless it's a much quicker recovery.
Sure.
Again, we're going to have to wait and see what the recovery is here, but if he recovers quickly, you know, you do want him in a training camp. You want him going through preseason. You want him getting his first taste of the NBA early in the season when games don't matter as much. And a lot of other teams are putting their young players out there. My fear would be that he gets back a little bit later.
Mm-hmm.
And that really does hurt your opportunity to put him in the game, to give him minutes down the stretch as, you know, guys like maybe Keon Ellis or even, you know, Mason Jones, who looks absolutely phenomenal at Summer League.
Mm-hmm.
If a guy like that sort of steals a little bit of the limelight and a little bit of the potential minutes here just because, you know, he's 25, 26 and has like a mature body. So we'll have to wait and see what it means. It is a setback. I just hope that it's not that big of a setback.
Okay. I have a couple of things I want to talk about. You mentioned Mason Jones. I want to talk about mm-hmm. Cal Classic. I didn't even recognize Mason Jones, dude. He looks like a different human. Like, I legitimately had to look at the roster, and I was like, who is number 8?
Mm-hmm.
He also looks like he also played really well.
No, I think when you're watching him, he even moves different. Like, it just everything about him is different. You know, when he came through and he signed with the Kings to play in the G League, he weighed 240 and he's down to 195.
Man.
I mean, that's a transformation. We're talking 6-7 months. He's dropped a tremendous 45 pounds is what he's saying. And that to me is absolutely crazy. So at this point, like, look, He's got potential as like a two-way wing. He plays defense hard. You know, he's a guy who attacks, who's put up triple doubles at the G League level. Who, you know, again, he's not like a young prospect. He's not like a 20-something year old guy. Well, an early 20s guy. But also, like, look, he's a guy that we saw it last year. Like, he's a rah-rah guy. He's a good guy to have around on your mm-hmm. team who brings a good spirit and a good energy to him. He's on a two-way contract. And I think the Kings made a wise decision last year to keep him on a two-way.
Yeah.
Because now you have that ability to pull him up to 50 games during the season. And that could really, really be an advantage for the Kings to have a player that, you know, maybe can fill in quite a bit while Devin Carter although they don't play the same position while he's out of action, though.
I thought Keon Ellis looked really good, too. Just from a standpoint of he looked like an NBA player playing in the Cal Classic. At least that's how it appeared to me.
Yeah, you're hoping that he looks better than everybody, right?
Yeah,
that
he just kind of did like, to me.
Yeah, you're like, hey, why is he here? He doesn't belong here.
Yep.
And I think that's exactly what we got. He looked really good. He's taking on more. He's doing more than he has before, and some mm-hmm. of that looks a little clunky.
Definitely.
But when he's ready to, you know, play with the you know the standard team, whether it's off the bench or as a starter, I think he's going to have a really nice impact this season.
It's really tough in these like Cal Classic games to distinguish between Like, I think there's a pretty significant difference between Keon Ellis looking as good as he did and, like, Adonis Arms in the first game looking as good as he did. Because one of those is an NBA player who is playing really well against non-NBA competition. And another guy is just, like, the best of the non-NBA competition. And I thought Arms was, like, intriguing, particularly because of what he was doing, passing off the bounce and like, these one-handed little pocket passes. Like, it was impressive, but very different type of dominating than I think what we saw from Keon.
Yeah, he's one of those players who are trying to fight and stake their claim to an NBA spot.
Right.
And you got to respect those guys. Like, I always have an affinity for the self-made man. The guys who, you know, what did he play in four different colleges?
Yeah.
And if he played in four different colleges, there's a chance he played in a couple of different high schools too. Somebody who's just clawed and trying to fight his way into the NBA. He played really well for the Memphis Hustle last year. Mm-hmm. And he's a guy that if the Kings could somehow find it, get his rights, that he would, you know, probably make a lot of sense to have in Stockton. Mm-hmm. And you never know. Maybe you do develop them. The Kings have done a nice job the last couple of years of finding sort of diamonds in the rough and developing them. But you're happy for guys who are able to showcase themselves in a game like this, in a tournament like this. And then maybe he gets an invite to Las Vegas. If he gets an invite to Las Vegas, maybe he gets an invite to training camp. And if you get that invite to training camp, that's typically where teams go out and try to acquire your rights. So if they waive you, they can give you a signing bonus, waive you, and then if you stick around in the G League for a little while, you get to keep that signing bonus, and that can sometimes be double, triple what your G League contract is.
You mentioned the starting lineup when we were talking about Keon earlier. What does your starting lineup look like today?
Today I still think it's Fox, Ellis, DeRozan, Murray, and Sabonis.
Okay.
But that can change.
Which part? Because Fox and Sabonis are locked in at the one and the five.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Who would go on? Now what changes besides that?
Well, I mean, here's the deal. Like, the fact that you just added another playmaker might not actually be advantageous to Malik Monk, because there's no question DeMar DeRozan starting, right? So either you're starting at the two or you're starting at the three, and that just depends on whether you add another piece to the puzzle. Again, if you go out and get Kyle Kuzma, you slide Kuzma or Murray to the four. Those who are your three and your four, and DeRozan goes to the shooting guard position. And then your primary backup at the point guard is going to be Keon Ellis, and your primary backup at the two is going to be Malik Monk, right? So I could see a way in which Monk wins the starting shooting guard spot. But again, does it help you to have all four of your best passers, your best playmakers in the starting lineup? I guess you can do that, and then, you know, just like sort of stagger all of your rotations after that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, like, it's not a knock on Malik Monk to come off the bench. It's a position where if you're playing in a starting lineup with a guy who averages 26, a guy who averages 24, a guy who averages almost 20, and a guy who averages 15, there's just not a lot of shots there for you.
Mm-hmm.
And there's an advantage to coming off the bench and being a guy who can get 13, 14 shots as the primary scorer off the bench in that first wave. But either way, you know, Mike Brown's going to use eight and a half, maybe 9-man rotation for a lot of this season, because he's got the horses now to do it.
I think they need one more. When we start getting deep into the rotation, I think they need one more wing who can play like the 3-4. That's kind of where I fall. And then I'm really worried about it.
Well, I mean, I would like to see the length and athleticism of a guy like Kuzma. Now, again, maybe the Kuzma deal works out, maybe it doesn't. I don't know what they've got on the table there, whether Washington's willing to do business or not. But if he's there, and you can somehow get him, he does add that little bit of bounce, you know. And I know a lot of people are like, well, his usage rate is too high and all that stuff. Like, look, Kyle Kuzma was part of a championship team. It was in the bubble, but still a championship team with the Lakers. Like, he knows how to play different types of positions, different styles of play. And at this point in his career, like 28, I don't see him looking around and saying, okay, if I get to the Kings and I can average 27 a game and I can be a four-time All-Star and I can somehow get to the Hall of Fame and all this stuff. I think he kind of knows who he is at this mm-hmm. point. And that's a good thing. And you might be able to work with who he is and, you know, have him do a lot more, you know, go to the corner type stuff, but then play off of Sabonis on the high pick and roll. All of these things that we've seen the Kings do with other players. I just think that he would add another element to the team that you lack at this point. And like, look, there might be someone else out there that can provide that same stuff. I know people bring up Cam Johnson in the chatty house and, mm-hmm. You know, yeah, Dorian Finney-Smith and those guys. But as of right now, he would still be a pretty high-level guy to look at. I would worry a little bit about what that would do to Keegan Murray and like, yeah. how far that sets him back as far as, like, scoring option, because he does have so much potential still.
The varying amount of opinions about Kyle Kuzma is nuts. It goes from, like, the Kings need to go add this guy and they will become a championship contender tomorrow, to stay away from him at all costs. What a fascinating dynamic.
Yeah, he definitely, he's one of those players that really, like, you either love him or hate him. And I would just say that the reason why I lean towards him and I bring him up is because he's really, really a good, I mean, like, he's very good as a basketball player. You can not love what he does, like, on what the Washington Wizards or whatever, but that doesn't change the fact that he still has, like, a skill set that's very intriguing. He can rebound. He can shoot the three. His three-point numbers would look much better if he was off the catch and shoot versus having to create for himself. He can get out and run. In all honesty, he's the guy that you really hope that Marvin Bagley would be, right? Mm. When the Kings drafted Bagley, they were hoping that they would find a Kyle Kuzma type that could get out and run and space the floor with a De'Aaron Fox, and it just never really developed.
Right.
And the other thing is, Kyle, like, I was never a huge, I'm all in on Kuzma, especially after him choosing to go to the Wizards, go back to the sure. Wizards. He had other opportunities, including Sacramento last summer, from what I know. And he decided not to go play for a winner. And that's always like a red flag for me when someone goes, okay, I'm okay being here in Washington while we're not going to be very good.
Mm-hmm.
And now he may have thought, hey, Jordan Poole's here. Maybe we can have some crazy fun and we'll be the talk of the NBA and all that right. stuff. But I don't think that happened. And I also think that there was a time during the season where he could have gone to Dallas and chose not to. But at the same time, you just can't look away from his contract. His mm-hmm. contract is 23.5, 21.5, and 19.5 for the next 3 years, where Brandon Ingram makes $36 million right now and is going to want 40 for the next 5 years. So you're looking at $200 million there. And then the same thing for Lauri Markkanen. He's going to be $18 million this year, but after that, like, affording him is going to be ridiculous. And so building a team and keeping a team around these guys is going to be hard. So, yeah, just kind of interesting food for thought. Why I think Kuzma might be a good fit is very specifically its contract, its style of play. And then after that, I think he's probably miscast where he's at.
I got lost. Where am I at?
It's okay, Kyle.
Harrison Barnes.
I love your monarch.
Right? No, thanks, Harrison man. Barnes. It's one of my favorite hats. Harrison Barnes. I want to talk about him before we go. I was looking at the clock and I was trying to do math in my head, which, as you know, never goes particularly well. No, we got a couple minutes left. Just wanted to shout out Harrison Barnes one more time. Heck of a pro. He's put together a really nice career. And I personally just wanted to make sure that it's clear that, because I frankly was not a huge fan of his throughout this season, and wanted to see more from him. And I think a lot of people probably did. But that was strictly about this year and what the Kings needed and trying to get it out of him. It had nothing to do with him as a person or as a pro. Heck of a player, and should be saluted for his time in SAC for sure. So
yeah, and a heck of a human being. Him, yeah. And I wish nothing but the best for him and Brittany and their little girl August. Really good people, and I really do think that you know, at a certain point, you do need to go somewhere else. And him going there with Chris Paul to be mentors for Victor Wembanyama,
mm-hmm.
just an absolutely stellar move by the San Antonio Spurs. You just pick two, like Chris Paul is considered probably the best leader in the NBA, and Harrison Barnes is one of the best community locker room guys that you're ever going to run across. And those guys will help him develop. They won't just help him develop as a player, they'll help him develop as a man, mm-hmm. and help him become the player he's going to be, which is going to be one of the best players that we've ever seen in the game. And I definitely, you know, you lost one, but DeMar DeRozan, everything I've heard from about him too, just salt of the earth, one of the best dudes ever, a media dream, never turns down media, just one of the NBA good guys as well.
We have a minute, so I think that's it. And we're going to get out of here. Thanks for hanging out, James. This is great.
Yeah, it was fun, right? It's like we should do this more often.
In fact, you know what? Tomorrow, let's just 10 a.m. We'll rock 10 to noon. It'll be great.
Okay, we'll try that. We'll try and see how it goes.
Give it a shot.
10 o'clock tomorrow.
The Insiders, 10 a.m. right here on ESPN 1320. James, appreciate you, man. We'll talk to you next time. Jesse, appreciate you for hanging out today. The Matthews Mattress Chatty House, a big thank you to you guys. You guys are wonderful, as always, and a big thank you to all of our guests, Sean Cunningham, Matt George, Chris Biederman, and Jason Timfall did a great job as well. And this was really cool for me. I love D'Lo and KC. Personally, I love their show very much, and it was awesome seeing them get started, and now it's awesome 4 years later getting to hop in and fill in while those guys are out. KC back tomorrow. Kyle Madsen for James Hammond, Jesse Tapia, for ESPN 1320, Sacramento Sports Center. Boop!
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.